Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
It becomes, what does this mean for the economy? That's right. He's got his own walk-up music. He's a big shot now at the Heritage Foundation. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We had a great time on Friday. Thank you for coming out and joining us. We'll be back August 15th for our next live show. Mark your calendar now and make your July midweek vacation plans for those resort credits. Yes, he is the chief economist at the Heritage Foundation, and he's our guy. He's our own. He's Dr. E.J. Antoni. What's up, my man?
Oh, see now, Rich, had I known it was happy hour, I would have started drinking already before the show.
Oh, like you haven't.
Oh, the man knows me too well.
You can't BS a BSer, my man. Come on. On a day like today, we should all be drinking. But how are you? What's going on? What's new?
Trying to make sense of this crazy market. Like you said, on a day like today, we should all be drinking. it's amazing how many contradictory signals we're getting, Rich, really. When you look at the dollar, when you look at gold, oil, the broader equities markets, it really is incredible. It's almost as if the last 72 hours on, to be perfectly frank with you, it's as if the last 72 hours on both sides in the Middle East have been purely performative.
Yes. The way that you say performative in the sense of how the markets are responding, meaning that that's how the markets are viewing it, right? In other words, that this is not going to be World War III or that it's going to lead to some fundamental ground war or anything like that. Is that basically how I'm interpreting that?
Sure. And what's really interesting, too, is then when you start looking at like the president just put out on Twitter or Truth Social or whatever the heck it was, he literally says that the Iranian government tipped them off, gave them a heads up that they were going to be sending these missiles in.
Yeah.
And Trump attributes part of the reason why there were no casualties or anything to the fact that they were given a heads up. But who launches a retaliatory strike but gives a heads up that it's coming? I mean, it really just feels like everyone at this point is just trying to save face, and everyone knows no one's going to do anything about it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. This is the Ayatollah trying to appease his people by saying we're doing something, but they don't want to escalate. They don't want to do anything. Talk to me about what would happen if they were to shut down the Strait of Hormuz and how much economic damage that would do to Iran.
I think people are really underestimating this scenario, Rich, because we hear figures like, well, almost all of the oil out of the Strait is actually going to Asian markets. Okay, that's true. And it is true that almost none of it, it's literally the single digits on a percentage basis, very little of it actually comes here to the U.S. Okay, yes, that's true. But guess what? Oil is a fungible commodity. I understand there are deviations. There's heavy and there's light. There's sweet and there's sour. But at the end of the day, it's basically a fungible commodity. And so if China can't get their oil because it's not coming out of Iran anymore, they'll just buy it from other markets, which means instead of some oil coming here or coming to Europe, wherever, it's going to go to China instead as they bid up the price and incentivize suppliers to send oil there instead of here. Or they incentivize even just domestic producers to, instead of keeping it in our market, to send it abroad. This is how a market works. And it's like the analysts are forgetting this basic fundamental mechanic here. So if we do actually get into a situation where the Strait of Hormuz gets shut down, and Look, maybe that's because it's the Iranian Navy. Maybe it's because they mine the waters. That's happened before. Or maybe it's simply the fact that all of the missiles that go to Israel or that went to Qatar today can certainly reach the Strait of Hormuz, since that's obviously closer. You know, maybe it's just missile attacks or the threat of missile attacks that deter the tankers from going through the strait. We had, I think, half a dozen of them today, half a dozen of those tankers simply turn back because they didn't want to actually risk it.
But why would Iran do that to itself, though? Because wouldn't Iran be hurting itself economically if it does?
Rich, I get the argument, but here's the problem. The same people who are saying that are also the ones, are also the same analysts who told us that if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, they're going to destroy Israel. Okay, but if that's the case, if they're willing to self-immolate in one instance, right, because if they were to nuke Israel, the whole world is going to just get together to topple them. Israel itself has nukes. They'd probably just nuke Iran right back. If the government of Iran is willing to self-immolate that way, why would they not self-immolate in terms of trying to do as much economic damage to the rest of the world as they could? I just don't understand the difference here.
So basically, I'm trying to, I guess, Dr. E.J. Antoni, are you worried that Iran is going to do something significant? Is that your concern at this moment?
Well, I always have that concern lingering in the back of my head, the back of my mind, honestly, because these people are all nut jobs. If we can be really honest with each other, these people are nuts who are running this government, as is the case very frequently with governments in the Middle East. And so, yes, that's obviously a concern. Now, the developments of the last, not even 24 hours, just the last 12 hours, you know, have really, I think, alleviated a lot of those concerns, where now it's, I don't think there's nearly as much of a risk that you are going to see the Strait of Hormuz get closed or even worse measures be taken. But that's dependent on the status quo being maintained, Rich. And honestly, when I look at the continuous missile barrage that's going back and forth between Israel and Iran, I'm not sure that status quo is going to get maintained. I am fearful, again, to be honest with you here, that we're going to continue to get dragged into this conflict.
Interesting, because that's a different take than I was expecting, honestly, because I was listening earlier to another economist, obviously a lesser economist than you, Dr. E.J. Antoni, who was basically saying that looking at the markets today, looking at crude prices, the market doesn't seem like that's going to be the case and that we really have nothing to worry about. So do you disagree with that, or do you think there's another reason then why the markets are just being positive today?
Well, look, for every buyer, there's a seller in any of these transactions. You know, this is why when people get upset about, oh, there's short selling that's driving down stocks or whatever the case may be. Okay, but again, for every buyer, there's a seller on the other end of that trade. So just because someone believes the market's going to go up and they make a trade based on that, they must have a counterpart who thinks the market's going to go down. Now, obviously, today, there were much more in one camp than the other, hence the collapse in crude prices. But still, if you look at both sides of that futures contract, clearly there have to be people in both camps. Now, I'm obviously in the minority today, but again, I'm still very, very fearful.
Well, I think a lot of people are. I mean, you know, there's a couple different camps that people can be in. I mean, you know, there's some who are absolutely celebrating what happened Saturday night. There's some that are, you know, emphatically opposed to it. There are some that kind of knew it was going to happen. I put myself in this camp, and now I'm just hoping that that's it, and it doesn't go any further than that. And I'm optimistic that it won't. But I'm kind of hearing from you, you're not as optimistic as I am that may not be the case. I guess I'll ask you this question, and this is, you know, much more of an economic question than a strategic question, but where are we in terms of our ability to not worry about the oil that's produced in the Middle East if things do kind of hit the fan?
Well, you know, unfortunately, what we had for 4 years under Biden was rig count, oil rig count, essentially, steadily declining. And although we were able to keep up in terms of production, we actually saw some increases because drillers got hyper efficient in squeezing every drop of oil they could out of a well. We're still basically at or near maximum capacity today. So it would take some structural changes if you want to actually make up with domestic production for any losses in terms of foreign production. Right now, it's mostly other OPEC members besides Iran who are the marginal producers. In other words, Saudi Arabia can decide to open up or close a little the spigot. We're kind of tapped out, at least in the short term. Now, in the long term, if you give us many months or even a couple of years, we can definitely greatly increase production. But again, given what's happened to things like oil infrastructure over the last 4 years, it's not as if we can have the kind of instantaneous response that we could have in, let's say, 2019.
So what about Saudi Arabia? Because, I mean, obviously the Saudis don't want to see this escalating any more than is already the case. Where do they play in all this? And I mean, they're our ally, they're our friend, kind of the 800-pound gorilla in the Middle East, so to speak. And, Russia's threatening to get involved here, but Russia doesn't want to upset the Saudis. And so how does that factor into all this?
Well, I think one of the things that's important to remember from Saudi Arabia's perspective, take off your America hat for a second and think of this from the position of the Saudis. They can't allow oil prices to go too low. Part of the reason why they're not going to completely open up the taps, even though that might be good for several of their friends like us, they're not going to do that because they can't afford to. It's not a matter of production costs. The Saudis can get oil out of the ground and to market cheaper than almost anybody else in the world. But they have tens of dollars of entitlements built into every barrel of oil. In other words, they have such large entitlement programs in Saudi Arabia, much more than we do here, where we at least try, theoretically, to limit our entitlement programs to people who are hungry or people who have nowhere to live, pregnant women, people who are sick, the elderly, etc. The Saudis just give out money to all their citizens left and right, and they do that by essentially taking a large percentage of the proceeds of every barrel of oil. So what I'm getting at here, Rich, is if they were to pump enough to really put a hurt on the Iranians and to kind of put them out of business, at least the oil business, and therefore the terrorism business, they would be hurting themselves to such an extent because they don't make money when oil goes down to, let's say, $50 a barrel. They are losing money at that point. And so you got to remember from the Saudis' perspective, there's only so much they're going to be willing to do, even if it's in the name of helping an ally.
Interesting. It reminds me of Landman, how they were saying that you want the price of oil to be at, I think it was like what, $75 a barrel or something? You don't want it to go higher, you don't want it to go lower. That's kind of where you want it to be, the sweet spot, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. And see, here's the problem. I've talked to literally dozens, it's not an exaggeration, dozens of small oil and gas producers. So we're not talking like ExxonMobil or Chevron here. We're talking small producers in Texas, in Oklahoma, and in other areas, even up here in the Northeast, like Western Pennsylvania, for example. And the universal response I've gotten from these folks is this: we would love to pump more. We would love to bring more oil to market, especially now that we finally have gotten rid of the regulatory regime of the Biden administration. But we can't afford drill pipe today because of these tariffs that have just been put in place on all of the all of the products coming in from abroad. So now, unfortunately, although we have producers who love this administration and would love to bring more oil to market and drive prices down, they can't because they'll start losing money. They're going to need oil at $60 or $70 a barrel in order to maintain profitability.
So I guess in the final analysis, we're all just kind of in a wait and see mode, huh?
Unfortunately, I wish it were the case that I could just break out the crystal ball here and tell you exactly which way equities and West Texas Intermediate and all the other things we trade, which way everything is going. But I mean, so much of this, Rich, depends not only on decisions that have yet to be made here at home, but responses from abroad. We were all kind of just sitting on pins and needles today, waiting to see what are the Iranians going to do in response.
Yeah. Well, they struck our base in Qatar, but to your point earlier, as we started this, it was mostly performative. So hopefully we see a lot more just performances in the next few days and nothing bigger than that. Dr. EJ Antoni, always a pleasure, my friend. Follow him on X at Real EJ Antoni. Accept no substitutes. He's the one and only Dr. EJ Antoni. Thanks, my friend, chief economist at the Heritage Center. And congratulations again on your big promotion. That's a big deal.
It's very kind of you, Rich. Thank you for having me. Seriously.
You bet, my bud. Appreciate it.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
And to that point, by the way, the president putting out on Truth Social a short time ago, keep oil prices down. I'm watching. All right. As we continue along here on our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, feel free to weigh in. Sue Alberici saying, I look too skinny. Sue, that's very kind of you. However, the camera does not agree. The camera adds 20 pounds. So, but thank you. I appreciate it. It's good. I'm feeling good. I'm healthy. I've lost some weight. You know, with the foot, obviously, I wasn't able to work out as much as I wanted to, but I started doing the intermittent fasting, and the intermittent fasting combined with heroin has been huge, not only for pain relief, but also for weight loss. So it's, you know, it's worked out well. And that and the fasting and the walking around the block while shooting up the heroin. But it's working out well. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. All right. We got a lot to get to. Dr. Victoria Coates is going to be here at 5:30 or so. We'll say hello to her real quick. What does, by the way, the governor of Pennsylvania think about all this? Now, this weekend, I don't subscribe to Philadelphia Magazine. I don't know why they send it to me, but I think they do because I guess I'm on the air and, you know, so I got this weekend, Philadelphia Magazine, who's on the front cover, Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. Is this our next president? That's the magazine cover. Now, I didn't read it. And the reason why I didn't read it is because, A, I had no interest in reading it. And B, because when we were cooking yesterday, I spilled all this olive oil on it. Totally true story, not even like exaggerating. And so I spilled all this olive oil on it. And then, you know, you just got to throw it out at that point. So I wasn't going to read it anyway. But, you know, reading a magazine that is dripping in olive oil is not fun for anybody. Certainly not the olive oil. And it's good olive oil, too. So then not the olive oil that Linda Kearns gave me, not the real, you know, the more the Costco Fugazi kind, but still, you know, nonetheless. It wasn't my fault. It was Reagan's fault. I blame Reagan, but, you know, my five-year-old, it's really her fault. But, and by the way, you know, Wednesday night, we have our Thursday night. And Matt DeSantis, are you working on this yet? The guests for our Zeoli Show Unplugged in the Hub for those kind and generous donors to the Travis Manning Foundation?
Well, I got to be honest. I didn't even know that was a thing until just now. But
I sent you a note about it the other day.
When?
We're going to do this right now?
Well, I don't know when you sent the note. I don't remember seeing it.
All right. Fine. I'm going to pull it up right now.
I'll admit if I'm wrong, but I don't remember a note.
Okay. Let's see if I can find it. I thought I did. Maybe not.
Well,
hang on. Let me see.
Lucky for you, I already have a few guests lined up for Thursday, so we're in good shape.
All right. I swear I sent it to you, but I got to check my email. I can't do that right now.
I'll search for it as well. But all right. Well, now I know, and we've got plenty of time to set things in stone. We're in okay shape.
Yeah, if we're even here on Thursday, because, you know, EJ was such a downer just now. I think we might all be dead by then. Possible. You know. What's that?
I was going to say, I'm excited for Thursday now, because usually that means we're getting a pretty good lunch.
What are you, nuts? No, they're going to have some snacks in the hub for the guests. You're not going to be allowed to touch them.
You can usually sneak a sandwich or something when nobody's looking.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. Distract the big money donors and then, you know.
Steal their food, yeah.
That's the strategy, Justin, right? That's what you got to do.
I mean, hey, we're putting on the entertainment for them. The least they can do is give us a half-eaten hoagie.
I totally agree with you, 100%. I know I have a funeral to go to tomorrow. A dear family friend, long time, her mom died. I've been friends with this friend of mine for, gosh, since college. So, and her mom was really close to me, her dad, too. Her dad's still alive. But anyway, so tomorrow I'm going to take off. Bridge and I are going to upstate New York for that funeral. So that's why I won't be here tomorrow, sadly enough. But I'll be here Wednesday and Thursday. And then not Friday, but that's not because of a funeral. But maybe I'll say it is, just to kind of get off. Wednesday, supposed to be back at Fox, knock on wood. Thursday, supposed to be back at Fox, knock on wood. I don't know. We'll find out. I'm doing a lot of trips up there, getting in the chair, getting the mic on, getting the hair done, the makeup. And then literally right as we're about to go on the air, you get bumped. Literally as you're about to get on the air. I'm not complaining though, because I'd rather be in that position than not in the position where you don't get asked to go on the show. So I'm not going to complain, but it's just, you know, that's what I'm just keeping you posted about my schedule. Anyway, here's Josh Shapiro, the Pennsylvania governor, reacting to U.S. military strikes in Iran. The potential next president of the United States. Cut 23.
Well, look, let me say, I'm the governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Austin Davis is the lieutenant governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Our job every single day is to ensure the safety and well-being of the good people of Pennsylvania. So the first thing I want to say to the people of Pennsylvania is our security team, our state police, Homeland Security, and others, we've been in dialogue with one another to make sure that there is no threat to the Commonwealth as a result of what happened overseas. There is no threat. The people of Pennsylvania are safe, and we're going to remain vigilant in our work here to keep the people of Pennsylvania safe. Now, I know foreign policy isn't part of my job description as governor, but it's a fair question given what happened last time. I'm happy to address it. I think what is most important right now is that we not have any escalation beyond what occurred last night. I don't think any of us want to address.
So don't sign any more bombs?
A long war in the Middle East, and I think it is important that we are vigilant about that. Obviously, the Trump administration holds a responsibility for what comes next and ensuring that our American troops and our personnel in the region are safe. I will say, with regard to the Iranian nuclear program, it was obviously very, very dangerous. The idea that Iran, the world's largest sponsor of terror, would have a nuclear weapon would not only destabilize the Middle East, but it would create risk for American interests at home and abroad. And so it is good if Iran does not possess a nuclear weapon. I think it is important now that there be some accounting for the questions that I think a lot of people have, whether more diplomacy could have accomplished that. And I think it's
now, don't sign any more bombs, I guess, if you don't want any more escalation. I'm just saying. I know he's like, I'm the governor of Pennsylvania. This was the dude signing missiles with Zelensky. Remember that during the campaign as he was campaigning with Kamala Harris and Zelensky of Ukraine? But anyway, clearly, this is the response that both Fetterman and Josh Shapiro have. So they're reading the tea leaves of how people feel about this. And that's probably pretty accurate in terms of their political future. Now, on a separate note, outside of this Iran issue, Tom Homan was talking about all the, I mean, it ties into Iran, right? Because it's about the people from Iran who were released into the country after crossing the border illegally. Look, there's a lot of these stories out there about how there's all these Iranian terrorists and sleeper cells and everything like this. And Secretary Noem was asked about that. And I'll get to that in just a second today. I'm not going to lose sleep over this. I don't think you should lose sleep over this. And I certainly don't want this to be another excuse to try to limit our liberties in any way, shape, or form. Luckily, with this administration, I don't think it will be. But yeah, that is the situation we're dealing with. We're dealing with a situation where the previous administration did let, obviously, a whole bunch of people into the country. Tom Homan's got a number on that as it concerns people from Iran. Cut 25.
So I pulled numbers this morning just from a CBP under Joe Biden. There was 1,272 nationals of Iran. released in the country between OFO and the Border Patrol. And you compare that to the Trump administration, zero, right? Zero releases. And right now, because of President Trump's leadership, we have the most secure border in my lifetime, most secure border in history of this nation. So we have a secure border. So that was President Trump's big win on securing this nation. So we're not releasing people in this country. Special interest aliens aren't crossing that border undetected. But under Joe Biden, we had over 10 million people cross that border. But my biggest concern from day one, beyond the fentanyl, beyond the sex trafficking women and children, were the 2 million known gotaways. Over 2 million people crossed that border. We don't know who they are, where they came from, because they got away, because Border Patrol was so overwhelmed with the humanitarian crisis that Biden created that over 2 million people crossed the border and got away. That is my biggest concern, and that's what created the biggest national security vulnerability this country's ever seen.
So Secretary Noem addressed governors today, including our own Shapiro, and I don't know if His Royal Ruggedness King Philip the Unaccountable was there or not, but she talked about this question of national security threats, including potential sleeper cells. And then after she addressed the governor, she spoke with reporters. Cut 26.
When we talk about sleeper cells, a lot of the past, like in terms of hits on the president and other U.S. officials, those have been carried out, at least according to prosecutors, by individuals hired here, not sleeper cells. Is there a concern of something different?
We've seen both. We've seen some from overseas and some that have been here, maybe gone overseas for a short period of time, become radicalized and come back, or individuals that are right here in the United States. So we have to watch for all of it and to be diligent on all of it, and we'll continue to do so.
What information do we know right now in regards to those sleeper cells? How is DHS tracking and following and seeking information in regards
to them? I can't necessarily share that with you, but I will tell you that we are continuing to evaluate every single threat and to proactively go after them before they do anything or take any activity.
Are we changing security policies at ports of entry since Saturday?
I can't talk about that.
All right. Now, we're going to have Dr. Victoria Coates here in just a minute. We're going to ask her about the Strait of Hormuz and what happens and then where does all this go. Real quick, though, Secretary of State Marco Rubio was asked a question over the weekend. This is Cut 19. Do you expect Iran to close the Strait of Hormuz to disrupt transportation? And we'll get a better analysis from Dr. Coates in a second. But this is the secretary's answer to Maria Bartiromo. Cut 19.
Do you expect Iran to move to close the Strait of Hormuz to try to disrupt oil transportation across the world?
Well, I encourage the Chinese government in Beijing to call them about that, because they heavily depend on the Straits of Hormuz for their oil. If they do that, it'll be another terrible mistake. It's economic suicide for them if they do it. And we retain options to deal with that. But other countries should be looking at that as well. It would hurt other countries' economies a lot worse than ours. It would be, a massive escalation that would merit a response, not just by us, but from others. So, look, they're going to say what they need to say. You know, these are the things that need to happen for their own internal politics and so forth. But in the end, we're going to judge them by the actions that they take moving forward. We had three objectives. We struck those three objectives with decisive force. And that was the point of this mission. And that's what we achieved. What happens next will depend on what they do. They want to negotiate. We're ready to negotiate. They want to get cute and do things that are dangerous. We have responses available that are devastating.
All right. Let's talk to Dr. Victoria Coates about that. But first, so this weekend, my kids did a lemonade stand to raise money for kids with cancer. And while we were there, this family was there, and this little boy falls and loses his tooth. So I said, do you guys have a family dentist? And they said, it's Dr. Mike Venneri. And I said, well, good. Well, let me call him. And I called him. And he picked up the phone, and I handed it to the dad and talked to the dad. And that's the kind of guy Mike Venneri is. Dr. Mike cares. Even on a Sunday, even when, you know, you call him with an emergency, he's there for you. That's the kind of guy he is. Because with his whole philosophy, and the reason why people love going to see Dr. Mike, my family included, is because it's about care and compassion. It is not about cost. So go see Dr. Mike Venneri for your perfect smile. You deserve a perfect smile. Everybody deserves a perfect smile. But you in particular deserve a perfect smile. And that's what you're going to get with Dr. Mike Venneri. VenneriaDental.com. V-A-N-A-R-I-A. VenneriaDental.com. He's got two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Easy to get to. And, you know, we saw our buddy Paula on Friday. She was at the Grand Hotel. She works for Dr. Mike. A couple days in the Woodbury office, a couple days in the Cinnaminson office. She's wonderful. She's a terrific person. And that's everybody who works for Dr. Mike. Now, you're going to see a lot of these chain dental offices out there. Avoid those. You don't want to go to those. Don't do that. You're also going to see maybe dentists that are closer to your own home. But you want to go to the best. And for 10 consecutive years, Dr. Mike Veneria has been ranked a master of implant dentists, a master of complicated dental services by other dentists who send their patients to Dr. Mike. So that's the difference you get with Dr. Mike Veneria. And, you know, Mama Zilli discovered him for our family. Patrick, Claire, and Reagan had appointments, I think, 2 weeks ago. I was there last week for my appointment. Bridget got a beautiful new smile from Dr. Mike. So obviously, if I can trust him with my family, you can trust him with yours. If you've been putting off getting that complicated dental procedure like an implant, or if you've had an estimate, get a second opinion, get a free implant consultation with my buddy, my dentist, and my friend, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So, yeah, Batman came out today and a long time ago, 36 years ago, the movie Batman with Michael Keaton. Amazing. Time flies, doesn't it? Really does. It flies by. But welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. A lot going on. Breaking news out of the Supreme Court, not related to Iran, by the way. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. The Supreme Court has just ruled the Trump administration can remove migrants to South Sudan and other countries. The Supreme Court on Monday granted President Trump's emergency request to resume deporting migrants to countries other than their homeland, including places like South Sudan, with minimal notice. The decision is a significant win for the Trump administration, which has argued that a lower court usurped its authority by ordering the Department of Homeland Security to provide written notice to the migrants about where they would be sent, as well as an opportunity to challenge that deportation on the grounds that they feared being tortured. The court's three liberal justices dissented. The order pauses a decision from U.S. District Judge Brian Murphy, which found that the government's efforts to deport migrants to third-party countries without due process unquestionably violated constitutional protections. Sotomayor said the court was rewarding lawlessness with its decision, asserting that the Trump administration has openly flouted previous court orders. And the, let's see here, basically, there you go. So the court has drawn growing scrutiny after migrant groups, blah, 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 blah. So that's the latest on that. I'm sure we'll have more on that for you tomorrow on the show, but still a lot to go here on this Iran situation. The latest is that you know what else too? The New York City mayor's race, which is heating up big time. And this nut job who's running, the socialist, this guy, Zoran Mandani, who hates Israel. People are saying he could beat Cuomo. I still got my money on the LoveGov. I'm putting my money on the LoveGov. I'm letting it all ride on the LoveGov. I think he's going to win the nursing home killer. That'll be great. It'll be the political comeback story of the year. Not as big as Trump's political comeback, obviously, but still big nonetheless. But this guy has he's got a rap. He raps. Where did you find this anyway, DeSantis? This idea that this mayoral candidate is a rapper.
Well, there was a clip of a music video that he released, I guess, a few years ago that started appearing on social media. And as you know, I spend way too much time online. So eventually it crossed my path. And I think we're all better for it.
Well, absolutely. And that's what happens to a man with a fake girlfriend. You spend a lot of time online. Obviously.
She's real. I just happen to live online. I can't help it. There's a lot of stuff going on social media.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
She's real, and you happen to live online. And
you know what? She is real, and she'll be at the broadcast in August, I believe. She was at the broadcast last summer. Everyone saw her. She's very real, not a figment of my imagination. And you'll see her again soon enough.
Now, it was great to have Justin there with us on Friday, but I hear Justin's not going to be at the August broadcast because he's going to be visiting his fake girlfriend in Florida at the time.
This is very real and very factual information.
Wow. All right. Well, have fun and a real trip with a fake girlfriend. I think it's going to be fun because nothing's better than Florida in August.
It's my fault for being born in August. What can I say? That's on me.
Well, it's your birthday. You should make her come up to the cool Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey for your birthday.
Well, maybe it won't be if we're going by in a heat dome where it's like it's hotter here than it is. I think it's hotter here than it is in Arizona.
It's brutal. I think I brought the heat with me. When I left Arizona, it was about 110. I'm here in Philadelia. What is it, like 100 degrees? My real girlfriend, who's definitely not fake, told me that Scottsdale right now, it's only 93, 94. So it's actually worse here than in Arizona.
Oh, wow. And then you got to factor in the oppressive quality of the heat because there's no breeze whatsoever. It's just like a heat blanket on all of us right now. How long is this dome going to last?
I hope not too much longer.
I think they said until Wednesday, if I remember correctly. I'm looking up the weather right now.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it.
It's supposed to get worse tomorrow.
No, really?
Yeah, tomorrow is like the worst day of it.
Tops 100. It looks like Friday.
I got to go to a funeral. I'm gonna imagine what the dead body's going to smell like.
Oh, my God.
What? Just saying.
Yeah, the Thursday in Philadelphia, it's supposed to be. So tomorrow, 101 without humidity. Wednesday, 98. Thursday, 86 with thunderstorms. And then Friday, we're back down to a normal-ish range of 76 degrees.
Nothing like a funeral in 110-degree weather, huh?
Yeah, that shirt and tie is going to be real uncomfortable.
Oh, God. And the smell of that body. I mean, you could be the best embalmer in the world. There's nothing you could do about that. That better be some thick box. You know what I mean? That casket. Just saying. Odor proof. You may want to throw in some of that Dr. Scholl's foot powder in there before you close it up. So
we're going to have to dump this entire segment and just start over.
It's how I deal with grief, with humor. It's the best, the only way. I'm telling you.
Speaking of humor, we do have the music video queued up and ready if you'd like to watch it.
Yes, our buddy Dr. Victoria Coates had a push back to 6 o'clock, so we'll take her at the top of the hour. But yeah, let's see. So this is socialist lunatic candidate for mayor of New York who should not have a chance, but New York's insane, so maybe he has a chance. But anyway, this is him rapping, and according to your write-up on the show sheet, not too good, huh? Not such a good rapper?
It's terrible, and the music video quality is also pretty bad. And I should lead off by saying he's not wearing a shirt in this music video.
Oh, God.
So you might want to avert your eyes.
Is this on YouTube? Are you showing this one on YouTube?
Yeah, mm-hmm. People can watch it if they choose to. I don't know why.
Boy, that's the kind of
actually.
That's the kind of love you get right there, kids. All right, go ahead.
Down for you. For you, give a climb to you, down for you, the ground for you, make a sound for you.
Go ahead, make a rap for you, Nani.
It's a rap.
Get the ground, spin the rack on your Nani.
Spin the rack.
Come through, give a dab to your Nani. If you're really feeling good, spin a track for your Nani. Go ahead, make a rap for your Nani.
It's a rap.
Get the ground, spin the rack on your Nani.
Spin the rack.
Through, give a dab to your nanny. If you're really feeling good, spin a track for your nanny.
What a freak. Good God.
It's like an ayahuasca trip.
Man.
Also worth noting that according to Emerson's latest poll, he is beating, I think he's beating Cuomo 52-48.
Oh, don't say it ain't so. We need the love gov back. We need the nursing home killer. We need him.
You don't want
to. We need him. I need him for show content.
You don't want a rapping mayor? That's decent show content.
No, not that guy. I bet you Cuomo could rap. If he had to save his political career, guy would do anything to save his political career. I would like to touch you and hold you, kill your mother, the nursing home. No, people are saying I look gloom and doom. First of all, I'm not gloom and doom. I've been up all day because I had to go to New York and get bumped. And I've got a funeral tomorrow, and it's also 187 degrees out. So I don't read into everything. My God, please stop reading into every little facial expression and everything else. It's not all about you. No, but honestly. Also, I got to talk about war for 4 hours. You'd be gloom and doom, too, if you were to talk about it. This is my job. I got to talk about war for 4 hours. Wait. Great job. So much fun. Yes. I was listening to another radio station today, and they were talking about, has anyone ever owned a timeshare?
Oof.
That was their topic.
Does anybody own a timeshare in 2025?
I don't think so. I thought that guy Chuck McDowell got everybody out of their timeshare.
That's what I thought. Every time I hear about timeshares, it's always a commercial explaining how you need to let your timeshare go, and, you know, he can help you.
Yeah. More people, this is why I get off the camera at 6. People go, why don't you do all 4 hours of this? Because I got to listen to the Peanut Gallery commenting on my looks, my facial expressions, my hair, my makeup, my weight. It's for 4 hours. No, I'll take the analysis for 3, and that's it. And then the camera gets shut off. I can't take it for 4. My God. Rich looks doom and gloom today. You'd be doom and gloom, too, if you had to talk about this for 4 freaking hours, by the way. And also had to go smell a dead body tomorrow in 125-degree heat. Oof. I mean, I haven't had to smell a dead body since I was a kid around my uncle, you know what I mean, growing up? What? No, I'm just saying, they killed. They might have. Not saying the mafia is real or that anything had anything to do with it, but, you know. See, the thing about it is that typically, you know, the mob usually, like, you know, like Big Pussy in The Sopranos, you don't have to dump that. That was his name. He got dumped over the side of a boat. So, you know, it's fish food. Put the concrete shoes on, so then you don't smell a thing. There's no body. Or if you lay him in concrete, those pilings that you see on the Pulaski Skyway up in Jersey City, New Jersey, up there, all those pilings, bodies in them. I'm telling you, there are bodies in all of those things. That's what they did back then. They would be laying the concrete to build the Pulaski Skyway Bridge is a great example. And then they'd be like, hey, I got this support beam. You know what I mean? And they drop the guy in and then pour concrete on top of him. So, and what are you going to do? I mean, it's like, even if they know the bodies are there, but what are you going to do? Are you going to take down the whole bridge? Like, I mean, at some point, they'll replace it, and then, some decomposed skeleton will come out of some guy, and they'll be like, oh, it's Jimmy Hoffa. That's what'll happen, I'm telling you, at some point in the future, allegedly.
All right, I wasn't on the audience's side, but now, yeah, you are doom and gloom today.
It's the heat, I'm telling you.
The heat is
super freaking hot.
It's awful.
New York City is the worst place to be when it's hot. It's disgusting. Disgusting.
It's pretty
Artie
disgusting. Even
horrible.
Yeah, when it's
I
when
can
it's
imagine
cool
you when you let everything the homeless, the weed smell and everything else just bake.
Oh, it's the garbage, weed, homeless, crime smell of incompetence, and that's what you smell. It's disgusting. It really is. It's gross. There's nothing good about it. I'm telling you. You're just like, ooh, you know, ooh. But I'm in a great mood, actually. And I was in a good mood listening to Johnny Joey Jones explaining how to destroy one of these bunker busters, how these bunker buster bombs work. Joey Jones breaking it down, the intricacies of the GBU-57 bunker buster bomb. By the way, DeSantis and Justin, have you guys ever seen the 1989 Batman movie, which came out on this date in 1989?
Yeah,
the
Keaton one.
Michael Keaton. Yeah,
yeah. I don't even know why.
Sure.
I don't even know why you asked, Matt. You know.
I already have the answer. I don't know why I asked him. I already have the answer. Stupid to ask.
I may have seen it. Which one is it? I've seen one of the Michael Keaton Batman films.
It's not the one with Michelle Pfeiffer in Dominatrix latex rubber, whatever she was wearing, which is
with that, yeah, and Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito is the Penguin.
Yeah, that's the one I've seen. So the one you're referencing, I've not watched.
Jack Nicholson played the Joker.
That's news to me.
Really?
That's news to you that Jack Nicholson played the Joker.
I never saw the movie.
Okay. Anyway, it came out today. I remember watching this movie when I was a kid, and I remember waiting in line at the mall to see this for hours. We had to wait in line back then. They didn't have the online ticketing system with the reservation where you could reserve your seats. Like, I already got my seats reserved for Superman when I'm taking Claire and Patrick. But back then, you had to wait in line. And then it was a scramble to get the seats. Before all the good ones were taken, you were stuck in the first three rows of the you know, right in front of the screen. We got the, you know what I mean? But that, yeah, came out today on this date in 1989. Thanks to hat tip to Linda Kearns for sending that our way. They originally wanted to play the part. They wanted it to be a comedy. And then they wanted, who did they want in it? I think like Pierce Brosnan or something they were going to make to play Batman at some point, too. But they went with Keaton because Tim Burton directed it, and he had just directed him in Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice was a huge success, so they went with Burton. But the movie was – it does not age well. At the time, it was very, very good. But when you look back now, and it does not age well. But Keaton was great. You know, at the time, that movie was the real deal. Anyway, here's Joey Jones breaking down the intricacies of the GBU-57 Bunker Buster Bomb. Take a listen.
7,085 miles from Missouri straight to Iran. We don't know they went straight there, but pretty much. You see here it says it'll go about 6,900 miles before refueling. That's without 60,000 pounds of a bomb strapped to its belly. So it refueled multiple times along the way. I don't know exactly where, but to do an air refueling at night with a stealth bomber, man, just so impressive. So let's get to the bomb itself. We've heard a lot about it. I'm going to tell you probably a little bit more than I should, but that's okay. So what happens here is from here to here about, well, maybe down here, this is your penetrator. What happens here is you have two different types of explosives. So you've got, and these are plastic polymer explosives. So what they are, they're not very sensitive at all. So you have two different types of explosives, and it's wrapped and coated in 25,000 pounds of steel, because there's only about 5,500 pounds of explosives in here. What you have up here is your guidance unit. So all of the guidance happens up here. This is where your electronics are. This is what's stabilizing it and causing it to go on course. So what happens is, when this cone hits, it causes a chain reaction through multiple fuses. So that impact inertia is what we call it. You have different motions like setback, like when your car takes off, throws you back in the seat, that setback. When your car hits a wall, you go forward, that's impact inertia. When the impact inertia of it hitting the ground happens, you have a time delay fuse in here or a delay fuse in here. And what happens is it actually, I believe, initiates from the bottom and goes forward into your explosive. So think of a sensitive explosive here, a slightly less sensitive explosive, slightly less sensitive explosive. And that's so that they can withstand the impact of going into the ground 100 feet without blowing up from a sympathetic detonation. So what I really want to show you here is that this is super simple. This guidance unit, we use that on all types of guided bombs. The fuses that are in it, we use those fuses on all types of bombs. The explosives that's in it, that's explosives that we use all the time with various types of bombs. A penetrating bomb is not all that uncommon. So when we say the United States is the only country that has the capability to do this, a lot of it has to do with how it got there.
Boom. There you go. That's Johnny Joey Jones explaining that for us. Road Warrior said 28 years later was a disappointment. Oh, that's a bummer. I was dying to see that movie because I love Danny Boyle. I was really looking forward to that. I love the original. The sequel was eh, but now that's a damn shame. Matt, who was in line to play Batman in the original 1989 Batman movie.
So there were a couple of interesting names. Mel Gibson and, as you pointed out, Pierce Brosnan both turned down the role before Keaton got it. Charlie Sheen was on the studio shortlist and evidently made it towards like the final round before they pivoted in another direction. And then Tom Selleck, Kevin Costner, and Bill Murray, oddly enough, were also in consideration for the role.
Wow. Now, it's obviously not the original Batman movie. The original Batman movie was done in the 40s, I think. But when I say the original Michael Keaton Batman movie, the one that brought it to the modern era after the Adam West era. But and by the way, the original Batman, like the one that came out, I think it was in the 40s. There were two early versions of it. It might have been the 30s, 40s, but they were awful. I mean, it was awful. But when I say the original Batman, it's that one. It's Batman with Michael Keaton, 1989. At one point, they were going to have Robin in it, and they didn't go that direction, and they made it darker, but still goofy. And that's the problem, is that you watch it, it's goofy. It would all go downhill, obviously, because you would get George Clooney and his bat nipples. And then you'd get, you know, it was a disaster, a whole disaster. And then they had to reboot the whole thing with Christian Bale back in, you know, 2005. But hey, nevertheless, one of the guys who was pivotal to that project is a Jersey guy. We've had him on the show before, back when I was in mornings. And I texted him today to see if he can come on the show, but he hasn't gotten back to me. He's probably busy today doing a lot of media interviews about a movie that came out in 1989. God, hard to believe, huh? 1989, here we are today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, 855-839-1210 is the number. Dr. Victoria Coates will be with us straight ahead. And let me tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding, my great friends at Emmons, our go-to contractor. They've done so much great work for my home. I am thrilled with the work they've done. Believe me when I tell you, Emmons is the best. Matt and Stephanie, my great friends, they're going to do a great job for you and your home. And 10% off, 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. Just go to emmonsroofing.com. Anderson Windows, doors, siding. How about a new roof? If you need a new roof, you're going to get the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business. That's what you get with Emmons Roofing and Siding. And the integrity. They serve our whole region, and they're great people, and they're friends of mine. Now, we first used Emmons in our original house because the roof needed to be replaced, and then we had them do the windows. In this house now, they've already replaced some doors. Oh, in the old house, too, they remodeled the kitchen and the bathroom. And yes, they have a kitchen and bathroom remodeling division. Bridget loves it. She loved the job they did. Happy wife, happy life. So make sure you go and visit them today. 10% off inflation discount. Tell them I sent you. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.